What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at BollandBranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Third and 10. Four-man rush. It's Goff throwing over the middle. And it's picked off Jeremy Chinn. And Washington will be going to the NFC Championship for the first time in 33 years.
G&D on the Fan, brought to you today and every day by the law firm Condori and Murrah. They'll help you update your last will and testament. They'll set up a revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today. Visit kmlawyers.com. Tell them we sent you. Get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Times are good in D.C. for football fans for the first time in a long time. You just heard Kevin Burkhardt talk about the 33-year drought without a conference championship game that has ended. Let's go to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. And it's always an honor when we get to talk to one of the best players in team history, and that's certainly what we're doing now. A three-time Super Bowl champion, a multi-time All-Pro, and a four-time Pro Bowler, one of the 80 greatest Redskins ever, Mr. Charles Mann is on. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Charles, welcome back on the show. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure.
How are you guys doing?
Great.
This has been an unbelievable run. We cannot believe this team has done this. What do you make of this? This is just wildness.
I have been super negative over the years. I've been in the community, since I retired in 1995, and it hasn't been good. And this year I came out just like I always do, and people ask me when I'm at the gym or going around town, hey, what do you think? And I said, I don't think much. And then I went to the first game, and then I went to the Dallas game at home. And, there was some bright signs, but what's happened in the last 5 or 6 weeks is remarkable. First of all, Jaden Daniels is superhuman. And as a rookie, I remember when I was a rookie, I'd have been in peed on myself in all the moments that he's had, that he just looked calm, cool, and collected. And it's baffling, but I'm loving it.
Charles, does he remind you of any of your teammates in that way, where just there's no moment too big? Nothing?
No. There's nobody that I haven't seen. I mean, this kid is, it's like he doesn't have a pulse. I know he's alive. I've seen him smile one time. So I know he cares, but he just is a freak of nature. And we may be watching, the next, Michael Jordan or LeBron James or Tiger Woods or, Serena Williams. I mean, this is crazy. It is really fantastic to watch. And he's on our team. And we don't have to go through, what did we have, 36 quarterbacks over the last 30 years? Something like that.
Yeah, we can finally send the helicopters home. The search is over. We found the QB, it looks like. Charles Mann is with us. It's funny because, look, I think we're all impressed, whether you played or you didn't play, with his demeanor. But when we bring people on who were great players, that's kind of where they start, which is telling to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there is something about just his poise and calm. We had your former head coach, Joe Gibbs, on yesterday, and he talked about, he was just cracking up. He's like, I've never seen the kid emote. I don't know if he has emotions. It does seem like that is what everybody locks in on for good reason.
Yeah, and let me say this. There's been 9 interceptions. I don't think he threw all 9 of those, but there's been 9 interceptions and over 390 something yards. I mean, 3,932 yards for the season. How do you throw that many passes? And you know, that's 525 attempts, and only have 9 interceptions. I mean, that was, I think Mark Rippon, even Doug, well, Doug didn't play the whole season, but Mark Rippon had 9, he was sacked 9 times our last Super Bowl year. But I'm trying to remember how many interceptions he had. I mean, this is his numbers. He is the best quarterback left out there. Out of the 4 teams playing this weekend, he's got the best stats.
Yeah, Mark Rippon, by the way, for reference, Charles, 11 interceptions in that 91 season. Just to goes to show you how different everything was. Charles Mann with us here on G&D. What about this team as well, Charles? Because I mean, the Jaden Daniels story is transcendent. It's there. It's obvious. It jumps off the page. But this is a group that I don't know that if you had a league average quarterback would be a double-digit team winner or a double-digit winner. But here they are in the NFC title game. That's the most remarkable part to me is that everybody's playing great somehow. We're all pulling the rope in the same direction. What do you make of that?
Yeah, the next person that jumps off the map is Dan Quinn. I mean, he really does. I attribute, y'all had my coach on there yesterday. He was amazing. Joe Gibbs was, and he takes a lot of the credit for what we did, even though he didn't ever step out on the field and make one play or tackle or catch or throw. But Dan Quinn has got these guys believing in each other, and that takes a long time. It's built over training, practice and in the locker room and week in and week out, night in and night out, game in and game out. I remember Norv Turner when he was here, one of the several coaches we had come through here, and Norv would be calling out players. I don't remember Dan Quinn calling out any player negatively. So he's fallen on the sword himself. He's not calling out his players. His speeches are not the same. You know, I think of Ron Rivera. Ron Rivera was kind of like just whatever, you know, hey, this happened and that. No, Dan Quinn is coming at this differently than these other coaches. He really, his second chance at head coach has really turned out to be just eye-opening because he's approaching this the right way. He's got these guys believing they can do anything.
Redskins legend Charles Mann is with us on Grant and Danny. You know, it's been probably, almost 5 years now since we had you on. This was around the time of the name change. Maybe it was like 4 years. Originally mm-hmm. to the Washington football team. And I remember being taken aback that day, and you were so honest with us, but I had no idea that you'd felt that way, where you basically said, and I don't want to paraphrase, but something to the effect of you felt more appreciated by the 49ers at that time than this organization. And I know for a lot of us, that was heartbreaking to hear. I mean, because you just meant so much to this organization. But I'm curious, like, what your relationship has been like, if you have one, with the new ownership group, and if they're as classy and decent to you guys as it seems like they've been to all of us.
Well, first of all, they have Magic Johnson, so we could almost stop right there. Magic is a winner. Magic is just everything that he's touched he's won at, he's done well with. So the fact that they pick Magic said they're going to go a different path and they're going to do something different than Dan Snyder. And then secondarily, they are there's a process. One thing, the number one thing they had to do, this new ownership, is, and then I'll answer your question, but the number one thing they had to do was get a better product on the field. That was number one. Number two, they had to fix the stadium. There was a mess at the stadium, railings falling, urine coming down out of the stands, and all kinds of other stuff happening. So they had to do those things. And then number three, and not necessarily in this order, is they had to win back the players that felt abandoned, kind of. You know, let me just say this about that. I don't expect, that's not their job to make us feel good. And look, I got my three Super Bowl rings, and anybody taking those away from me, doggone it. And so if I just want to remember, I just pull one out. Or if I want to go to YouTube and look at a highlight and say, okay, yeah, we were pretty doggone good, by the way. But no, these guys have, even though they're doing all these things, there has been an inclusive nature about them. They have invited me a bunch of times to games, and not just me, but my friends. We were at Daryl Green's retirement, jersey retirement. We were all there, a bunch of us. A lot of guys I hadn't seen in a long, long time had felt comfortable with coming back out. And so it's a process. It's going to take them a minute, but I tell you what, I feel a lot better about this team and about coming around. I live, you know, 6 minutes away from the facility. And one day, out of nowhere, out of the blue, this was about 3 months ago, Doug Williams called and said, hey, Dan Quinn wants to meet the Badasses. I said, huh? And he said, Dan Quinn said he wants to meet the Badasses. I said, who are they? He said, you and Dexter. I said, oh, okay.
Wow.
So the next day I was over at Redskin Park and, you know, and taking a tour, like I hadn't been in there. That was the place I worked. But we took a tour at some of the new stuff in there and the cafeteria with a chef. We had, that was a racquetball court. Now it's a cafeteria with a chef. We met the chef. We ate lunch. And then Dan Quinn and Adam Peters and Josh Harris and everybody came over there to us. And it really felt good. You know, I felt wanted and you know, they were respectful. And I just, you know, I didn't need any of that. They didn't owe me any of that. But it was nice.
I think that's the key, Charles. I'd love you to speak to it because it got this. I got the sense over the years, obviously I'm not in your position, I'm not an alum, didn't play for the team or anything, but they would try to trot out the legends whenever they needed some good PR or they needed something from you guys. And I imagine that probably wore thin. This is just, you know, trying to put some deposits in the friendship bank, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it doesn't feel like modern day slavery, no. And that's what it kind of felt like under Dan Snyder. These guys aren't trying to make a buck off of us. They just want us to feel welcomed. And you feel that. But it's going to take some time. You know, I haven't seen John Riggins out there. There's other players, Ernest Biner, I haven't seen out there. You know, Mark May, I haven't seen. So there's some guys, and I don't come around that often because I'm just been. What happens is we get in patterns in our life, and I'm in a pattern right now. I'm an entrepreneur. I own my own business, and I'm doing what I do. And now that the Commanders are asking me to come around, I've got to do a new groove now. I got to cut a new path because I've just taken the Commanders out of that path. And now I've got to make room again, which it's easy to do. And I love doing it. But I'll tell you this, I don't have Super Bowl tickets. People have been asking me, but certainly if they win on Sunday, I'm going to the Super Bowl. If I got to just stand outside the stadium or something, I'm going to that doggone Super Bowl.
Oh, wow. That's cool to hear. Charles Mann
love it.
Is with us on Grant and Danny. I want to go back, if you don't mind, to January 12th, 92, and the last NFC Championship game you guys played. You had a sack in that game of Eric Kramer. You guys dominated the Lions 41-10. Just any memories you have before kickoff or during the game, obviously.
Oh, my God, yes. Well, number one, every time my wife was pregnant with a child, we won a Super Bowl, and I have three children, so that point first. So in 1991, my son was born, and that season spilled over into 1992 as we played in the playoffs. Well, I was going against, so the night before the game, and first of all, I couldn't believe it, but all week long I was watching the Detroit Lions roster, and their roster had a guy named Conover, and he was a rookie, and he was starting at right tackle, which I would have been going up against. And I'm just waiting for them to put a new guy in there, a veteran in there. And so I walked out on the field the day of the game, and I stood there and watched as they warmed up on the other side of the field. And I saw Conover and the starting lineup. And I said, oh, my God. So I dreamed that night about what I was going to do to that young kid. I was a 10-year vet, and I was going up against a rookie. And I said, there's no way a rookie is going to hang with me. I'm sorry. I don't care if he's the Heisman Trophy winner or whatever. He's a rookie. And so I had dreamed up overnight that I was going to blast off into this guy no matter what, the first play of the game. Whether it was a run, pass, draw, whatever it was, I didn't care what the – I wasn't going to read any keys. I was just going to blast into his chest as hard as I could and let what happened happen. And so here's we're the first ones on the field. It was defense. I got to start first, which I loved. And I lined up, and Conover was right there, and I didn't care what the signal or whatever we were doing on defense. I blasted in this guy's chest, knocked him. He kind of just gave and turned, and I grabbed the quarterback's arm, and he fumbled it, the ball, and Fred Stokes picked it up, and boom. Within seconds, you know, we had a touchdown. Mark Rippon had to go about 10 or 11 yards, and we were off to the races.
That
and
was that first play.
I think it was the first play.
It was the first play of the game,
oh,
and I had already dreamed that play.
Wow, so, that's amazing.
Charles, like having now heard from you about it, I wish you had like 9 or 10 kids. That would have been really cool. Would have had a lot more trophies.
Yeah, I was going to say, why'd you stop
talk to my
three?
Wife. the mailman would have to be the guy.
Amazing.
I'm done.
Well, Grant, you sleep on this, but I threw a tantrum in the supermarket to make my mom buy us a whole week's worth of Swanson Hungry Man dinners because Charles Mann told me to. That is a fact.
50% more meat, extra portions that taste extra good. I remember my lines.
Oh, so good. But that 91 team, just real quick, Charles, this is just for me. When did you guys know? Because those other Super Bowl years, I think that, I don't want to say there was doubt, but it's like it was competitive, right? That 91 team was so unbelievably dominant and excellent. When did you know that it was different?
Thank you for saying that. We don't get enough. Can I say something about that? I'll answer that real quick, and I know we're running out of time. I talk long. Sorry. First of all, we shut out three teams that year.
Mm-hmm.
Three teams, our defense shut out. That means goose egg, zero, nothing, not a field goal, nothing. Three teams that year. That hasn't been done since. They haven't gotten one shutout since. How do you do that? And nobody on our defense except Darryl Green is a Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
How does that happen?
That's crazy.
Preaching to the choir, including the Philadelphia Eagles,
yeah,
by the
I'm
way.
Just 23-0. Saying, I'm just, first of all, the turnover ratio. That's how we won this weekend. That's how all the teams won this weekend. One had 5 turnovers, and of course, that was our game, and we were going to win with 5 turnovers. You win the turnover battle. We were plus 5. The next game, the next day, they were plus 3. You're going to win. We won the turnover battle in every single game we played. We turned the ball over to our offense, gave them a short field and an easy touchdown to make. And that's the difference. I think our turnover ratio after the 91 season was plus 45.
Wow.
Plus 45.
It was absurd.
That's how you win. You win with great defense. But right now these guys are doing it a different way. The defense is making enough plays to be dangerous. Saquon Barkley ain't going to run for 255 yards. He may get 155 yards, but he ain't going to run for 2. And what we're going and how we're going to stop them? How can I make that comment? We're going to have the ball longer. If we win the time of possession, we're going to win the game. And how are we going to win the time of possession? We're going to methodically go down the field every time we get the ball. We're not going to punt the ball. We're going to go for it on fourth down. They are too. But we're going to stuff them. Somehow that tush push ain't going to work. Or they're not going to get them in a fourth and inches. It's going to be fourth and five or six, and they won't be able to do the tush push. But that's what I'm believing. I'm a believer now, man. This is serious.
Yeah, it's getting real.
And last comment. Mm-hmm. What if we play the Buffalo Bills? That will be a remake of the last Redskins Super Bowl.
Some symmetry.
It's what a lot of us are pulling for that reason.
That's why I want to be there. That's why I want to be there.
Relive some of those memories. By the way, you guys didn't even play a close playoff game. That 91.
No, they aren't supposed to be close.
That's
we got fans to worry about. We didn't want you guys having a conniption.
I was
we
so
to
relaxed.
Beat them handily so y'all could relax.
I mean, 24-7, 41-10, and then 37-24.
How's a 14-2 turnover margin in the playoffs, yeah. Suche? Is that good?
But that's why the data, yeah. And I don't know, Charles, you know, from your generation, obviously analytics is now so different and part of the game in a way that I don't know how much you follow or care about it. But there's all these sites.
I do.
So there's all these sites that have the data on every team that tries to bridge gaps. And the 91 Redskins team gets spit out more often than any other as maybe the greatest team ever.
But why don't we have more players getting accolades because of that? Why is that?
I've always honestly thought it was the name, which was unfair and ridiculous. I didn't know. I mean, growing up as a kid. So
I could never answer that question, Charles.
We met when I was a young kid. My earliest memories of the team are after the Super Bowl itself. But I always thought it was ridiculous that the Hogs are not represented, guys like Jacoby.
No.
I mean, defenders you know, yourself. And I mean, it takes forever for Dexter, Art Monk, or Daryl Green, or any of these guys to get their accolades.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I don't understand. If we're one of the greatest teams ever, statistically, and, you know, realistically, how do we not get any due? And we're just not. And that's frustrating. And the older I get, I'm 63. So the older I get, the more I think about it. My wife said, just relax. If it's supposed to happen, it'll happen. If something's going to go down, it'll go down. But it's just frustrating that, you know, my peers – I went to the Pro Bowl with Reggie White and Chris Dolman, mm-hmm. and Richard Dent I didn't go with Michael Strahan because he was right after me. But I mean, those guys, my stats are right there with theirs. What happened?
Yeah,
you know, what's the deal? Why did I get overlooked? And Dexter could say the same thing. But you know, and then every time I have a surgery, I've had 26 surgeries. So every time I have a surgery, my wife has reminded me, that football was brutal to you. I know it was brutal. And, you know, be honest, if I could do it all over again, I might not have played.
No way. Why do you say
that? I'm just being honest. I got two new knees. I got a new hip. I just had my wrist fused. You know, I mean, I get body work done like I'm going to the dentist and getting my teeth cleaned. But I feel fantastic now, so
well,
I'm almost
good.
Ready to golf again.
When you're back on the golf course.
That's when you know.
You'll be, that's how you know you're feeling
that's
good.
When I know. It's been 5 years, so I'm trying to get back on the golf course.
Who do you think, just before we let you go, we're taking too much of your time, but we apologize.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
Charles Mann, Redskins legend. So this past year, they retired Daryl Green's jersey, and they're now starting to actually do that, which for a long time they didn't. Just this awkward thing where no one wore the number. And then guys like Joe Theismann are getting phone calls from people to wear their jerseys, right? So that's no fun for anyone. Who do you think should be next?
Art Monk.
81?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. He quietly did it. Didn't speak for himself. You had to speak for him. But he just quietly got it done. He made those clutch catches over the middle with Ronnie Lott and safeties that could attack the head. And Art just held onto those balls. He made all those catches.
It's a different time with those headhunters, by the way. Now everybody's would get kicked out and flagged and can't do it. But that's when 81 was going over the middle, Charles.
During our era, you could do that. And so you had to have a big guy. And Art was 6'3". you know, 195, 210, somewhere in that area. And you just, you know, he was the one that endured those Gary Clark and Ricky Sanders, the fun bunch. They got to run down the field catching those long bombs, and Art had to go over the middle and do the grunt work. And he did it quietly, didn't make any complaints, caught all the catches he needed to catch when he needed them, when they needed to be caught. So I would say Art Monk. He played 16 years in the NFL, and so he's a Hall of Famer. To me, that makes sense. But yep. I don't know. I don't call those shots. So
retired the all-time leader in catches when he was done. Well, I hope we see you in New Orleans. How about that?
It'd be fun.
Amen. Amen. Y'all make sure you come up to me. I'll go down Media Row and make sure I got to talk to you guys.
All right, oh, for done sure. And done. We will track you down. Rest assured.
Okay.
Thanks, Charles.
Thank you, Charles.
All right. Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
There's Charles Mann on Grant and Danny, Redskins legend.
Sorry.
He's the best.
Sorry about that, everybody.
Yeah, I love him. He is so good. I first met him when I was 10. He was working at Channel 9. He was on their sports
That's
department.
Right.
And, got him to sign some stuff for my mom for Mother's Day when I was 10 years old.
Just the coolest. Obviously, couldn't be a nicer guy. You sleep when it was hunting time. When the quarterback would drop back to pass that old school style where they actually backpedaled, not like the shuffle back now, and Charles Mann's coming around the edge, good heavens.
Grant and Danny on the Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
If you missed any part of Charles, man, he was tremendous. Podcast it when we're done, thefandc.com. He's so right, by the way, about the disrespect of the Redskins' glory years in terms of Hall of Fame representation.
Never understand it.
Joe Jacoby not being in as we sit here today is criminal. But how about guys like, so, and I'm not just saying this because he's our colleague. I mean, Brian Mitchell,
for God's sake,
is the most accomplished return man in history. So there's only so many jobs on a football team. You could be a receiver, you could be a lineman, you could be a linebacker, you could be a return man, right? He's the best that ever did it. And he's not in the Hall of Fame. We could go round and around on this. It took forever to get Art Monk in, who retired with more catches than anybody ever had. It seems like the guys that do get in, wearing burgundy and gold, seem to go through more hurdles and trials and tribulations along the way than anybody else. And then a lot of guys just don't get in. Like, I don't know about Dexter Manley. I'd have to look into probably the longevity and other things. But I know this. There are a lot of guys I've seen that have gotten in recently that didn't have the prime of his career when he had an 18.5, 15, 14 sack seasons in a three-year span, when he had 11 or more four straight years. Now, he was like a brightly shining star that burned out in a sense because there are a lot of 8 and 9 sack years in there. But that's also in an era, Danny, where there wasn't as much passing. So like 18.5 sacks in the mid-80s.
Is 25 today.
Right, that's 25. Yeah. A 9.5 sack season back then is probably 12 or 13. And when you bake that in, this guy had over 103 career sacks. How's Dexter Manley, a game-breaking, wrecking ball, just an alien from another planet that you have to think about every single day of the week leading up to the game, how's that guy not in the Hall of Fame?
Totally. You can go down the list several times over. I don't know if there's one explanation that totally defines this. I do know that, however you want to slice it, there is a bias against Washington players and giving them their just due. So the glamour franchises, like San Francisco, they were the team of the 80s. They outshone Washington with one extra Super Bowl and a better record overall. But
only
it was
because like the Washington bridged 80 into 90. So like their period goes end of 80s into the 90s. If it happened like 82 to 87, now it's probably a different conversation. But anyways, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, but San Francisco, because of, you know, the high-flying offense and how revolutionary Bill Walsh was and everything, for whatever reason, Gibbs never gets the same, sort of level of, you know, around here we know, but league-wide, it's always like, what about Joe Gibbs after you name Belichick and Walsh and, Tom Landry in his hat because they did the shotgun one time or something, ever revolutionary. But nobody ever gives the right amount of credit. For whatever reason, it's always this rock fight to gain a millimeter where the example I used during the commercial break, the idea that the guy that retired with more catches than anybody else to ever play the game, it took an act of God to convince Peter King to change his vote just so Art Monk could get in. Like, if that's a struggle, it tells you the whole story.
Well,
right? There's no respect.
Point is great to me.
Yeah.
I think you're right. He just never comes up. Like, outside of D.C. people or people with ties to the nation's capital, when we talk about the greatest coaches ever, this guy won 3 Super Bowls with 3 different quarterbacks. Think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Different cores, different iterations, basically, of his team, and he won 3 different Super Bowls. Had the numbers and production that he had. He also is one of the few guys ever to take a break that spanned 15 years almost and then come back when the quote-unquote the game has passed you by and in a completely different league. Like, just think about that. 15 years ago from right now was 2010. So at that time, like, Mike Shanahan hasn't coached since he left Denver. And he comes back today as a head coach and he gets a team to the playoffs a couple times in 3 years. That's what Joe Gibbs did. That's what Joe Gibbs 2.0 was here. By the way, at a time where you're pushing the biggest boulder up a rock. You're right. The fact that his name never comes up when we're talking about some of the best coaches ever. nationally.
Yeah, it's always it's always after everybody's had a discussion for 10 minutes and one other person's like, and what about Joe Gibbs, instead of leading with it? I mean, again, around here we know.
Yeah.
But there, however you want to describe this as to and how we got here, I don't know the answer.
I think
there
it
is
was
a bias.
The name.
Could be.
Because it became controversial. I don't know when. I'm not old enough to know how this works. But it became controversial enough that it was just kind of like, the less we have to deal with that as a league, the better. That's my own opinion. I have no idea.
It wasn't that it was the high-flying, I don't know how to keep saying this, it's almost like a basketball team, but it wasn't the high-flying offensive stars.
But 91 kind of was.
Well, you and I know that. That offense was about the offensive line, and it's harder to celebrate that than it is Jerry Rice. Harder to celebrate that than it is, here's the marquee quarterback with the scratch in. It was Mark Rippon, a journeyman from Washington State, who was fine, who like barely beat out Jeff Rutledge. But you and I could stand back there and sling it to three Hall of Fame caliber receivers in their prime or hand it off to whoever the hell you wanted to. And then if you got down to the goal line, trot Gerald Riggs on, old 260 pounds to thump your skull for a tutty. Like, that team was perfect, but it wasn't Tom Brady. It wasn't Joe Montana. It wasn't like the guy that you're used to seeing because it was the rotating cast, I think. I think that hurts this group's legacy in the eyes of these stupid voters.
I will also say that it has been a treat this week to talk to Joe Theismann, Joe Gibbs, and Charles Mann, and to reminisce about some of the stories that my parents have told me and that my mom, you know, grew up on and got obsessed with this organization over, has just been a real privilege. And I thank all three of them for their time and the stories and what they gave us. But hopefully this run continues, Danny, and in 30 years someone's having Austin Eckler on or talking to, you know, Quan Martin about his three straight weeks with a pick six that helped win a Super Bowl. These
and
memories
coming up on the show, Tyler Biadasz to reminisce about 25.
I mean, this is all we got. This is what we have 30 years later. But let's make some of these new memories. But it has been so cool to talk to these guys, and man, so gracious with his time. He was a 10 out of 10, just like Gibbs was yesterday, just like Theismann was at the beginning of the week. So make sure you grab those interviews at thefandc.com. Let's give you a Commanders stock report next on G&D. Tomorrow's show going to be live on site at Caddy's in Bethesda. We'll be there from 2 to 6:30. Come on out and party with us ahead of the NFC Championship game, which you can listen to right here on The Fan on Sunday. Listen to the station all day long, Commanders and Eagles coverage. We've got every play of the game, Westwood One broadcast, plus full pregame and postgame. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m. Without further ado, let's get you a Commanders stock report as we look ahead to Sunday's matchup. Commanders fans, boost your financial play with the Now Plus credit card from Northwest Federal Credit Union. They make this stock report possible. Join now. Visit NWFCU.org today. Northwest Federal Credit Union, official credit union of the Washington Commanders.
Spotlight. Whoever plays right guard. Maybe it's Andrew Wiley kicked inside. Maybe it's Trent Scott. I don't know. But we're gonna have a little spotlight on that right guard spot. If I'm Vic Fangio and the old Philadelphia Eagles defense, I'm gonna see if Jalen Carter can line up over that person a couple times, just to explore, just to poke a couple times to see if there may be a hole there.
Stock up for Quan Martin coming off a pick six against the Detroit Lions on the road, starting to get the shine that eluded him much of the season. The data's been good on him in terms of catches and yards allowed, his area of the field. He is just very quietly, I think, coming to his own as a really good player. 16 games this season, 3 passes defended, 3 forced fumbles, not a lot of plays made, 87 tackles, physical, willing, coming down into the box. But how about a pick six on a national stage in the biggest game of the year, spotlight and bright on Quan Martin?
How's that? Brian Robinson. Did we find something? Is it a thing? I will tell you this, Brian Robinson, physically, I'm not talking about the results. Obviously, they were good. Detroit can't stop the run. They couldn't stop a I don't know. They couldn't stop anything. But this is the best Brian Robinson has looked since that dominant win, 42-19 over Tennessee, where he ran for a buck and a touchdown with long of 40. He looked quick. He looked explosive. He looked decisive. He looked like he was powerful churning forward. Maybe, just maybe, we got a little rejuvenated Brian Robinson.
I'll stay in the backfield if you want to do running backs.
You won't.
Austin Eckler. There was a time where we didn't think he'd play again this season just based on the tone and some of the conversations we were having with him on the show after his pretty serious injury against the Dallas Cowboys. He did not play again in the regular season, but he came back and toted the mail, had a huge 8-yard carry as they put the game away against the Bucs. In that game, had 4 catches for 38 yards, and then last week, impossible to tackle. 4 for 41 as a receiver, 6 for 47 on the ground, 89 all-purpose. Eckler was huge on carpet in Detroit indoors. It's going to have to be significant again outside in the cold against Philly on Sunday.
How about Mikey Sanders still? Now, I know he had a couple of interceptions, and I was there. I wasn't there, but you know what I mean. I watched the two, but that's not the entire story here. Get tested this week, young man. You got a couple excellent receivers. Doesn't matter where Lattimore lines up or you line up. You're going up against someone that's really, really good. Had a couple passes defended last week as well. Has always been a willing tackler, ready to rock and roll. This is going to be a huge game, or has to be a huge game for him. Not only those receivers, but if Barkley breaks through the initial line of defense, maybe you drag him down from behind, something. You got to slow some of these guys down, make them make a bunch of plays against you.
I don't hear anybody talking about Dorrance Armstrong. Armstrong had a half sack, was more impactful than that against the Bucs. And then he had a 2-sack game against Jared Goff and the Lions. Now, it helps to know where Jared Goff's going to be all the time because he's about as mobile as I am on a Sunday afternoon while I'm watching football in my recliner. But 2 games, 2.5 sacks. He's had 7 tackles. He's got a couple more TFLs in the running game and 3 hits on the quarterback and the playoffs. Dorrance Armstrong, the addition in free agency, led Adam Peters Cook, has been excellent in the postseason. He'll look to make it 3 straight strong games at defensive end.
Deami Brown. Deami Brown, dude. You know the same guy that I think had 12 catches in the entire 2023 season? You know the same guy that had 5 receptions in 2022? That guy equaled those totals and surpassed them each over the last couple of games, has emerged as a threat. I have no idea if it continues this week, but nothing makes sense, so it probably does. Deami Brown playing his best football.
There's a theme here, by the way.
A lot of up. It's going up.
Stock's going up around here. They stonks. Must be winning some games. Stock up Bobby Wagner. Back-to-back 8-tackle performances. Did not have a takeaway against the Lions like he did against the Bucs, but he did make a tackle for loss. He was impactful for Washington as a leader, again, getting everybody in the right position. Defensively, they had 5 takeaways. I love the video of him coming over to the sideline when he took great offense to the fact that the Lions wanted the football to start the game, and he just kind of comes over and he's like, they want the ball. I don't like that. He's telling everyone, he's like, they want the ball against us? Bobby Wagner, let's do this thing.
But John Allen, stock up for John Allen. A tough year. He was a guy that I would say I felt the worst for. As this run is happening, as all these great things are going on for this football team, he was a passenger. He couldn't do anything. He tore his pec. I felt terrible for the guy. Worked as you know what to come back off and had probably one of his best games in recent memory this past week, and a huge one at Detroit. Has got to be big again.
Just give you the quick injury report. These are the guys that did not practice today. Sam Cosmi was obviously out for the year with a knee, but has yet to be placed on injured reserve. Jeff Driscoll with an illness. I swear I did not go near Jeff Driscoll.
What did you do?
I did not go near Jeff Driscoll. Daron Payne, knee and finger, did not practice. He will play in the game, obviously. Bobby Wagner with a high ankle. By the way, he's playing through a high ankle. Think about that. Just casually playing through a high ankle. And then John Bates was fully a practice participant yesterday, scaled back to limited today with a shoulder. Yesterday was more of a walkthrough in the bubble. Today was a real practice outside, so I'd say that explains that. But those are the players dealing with ailments on the practice field. Next, let's talk to Bill Barnwell, a very smart football gentleman. We will ask him for his thoughts on Commanders-Eagles. We'll also get his pick for the Bills and the Chiefs as soon as we return on The Fan.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.